when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Leadership isn't actually about leading people. Mm-hmm. It's about finding your gift and offering your gift to the world.
Mm. How do you deal with the reality of being disliked in certain situations or certain areas?
That's such a great question. I think that's not touched on, right? Yeah. Like, you fail so much as an athlete, but it only takes one win.
The best leaders are the greatest servants. Yeah. So serve people.
One of them said, oh, when are you going to get married, have a baby so he can shut you up?
Hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Renee.
And I'm Courtney, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the To My Sisters podcast.
Now, we are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters across the world.
And in today's episode, we have something a little different and a little special. We had the privilege of sitting down with the CEO of the Black Young Professionals Network, BYP, kicker on a win day at Goro.
Yeah,
I think I said that right.
Yes, I think you did. Okay,
you,
sorry,
you
said
solidarity to my Nigerians.
I knew you were gonna say that. I just knew you were gonna say that. I know the Nigerians. Stand up, Nigerians. We know you're here. Come on.
But no, we got to sit down with the amazing kicker on a win day, Agoro, who previous athlete and now sensational leader of such a big, I think, multi-million pound company, to talk about intentional leadership. This conversation was actually held as a live podcast conversation at the BYP Leadership Conference. You may have heard us talk about it before.
Yep.
And as we are cultivating a community of sisters and women all over the world who we want to lead their lives and lead a life that they love, as well as lead change in the world, we were so excited to be asked to come and host a conversation around cultivating intentional leadership, and we wanted you guys to hear it. And so shout out to BYP for recording this conversation and allowing it us to release it to the sisterhood. We know that so many of you typically want to hear live conversations and can't, because you can't be present at live shows. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this is a bit of an insight into what it's like to have a guest on the podcast, as well as a live podcast conversation. And you can let us know if you want to hear more of this, whether it be conversations about leadership, conversations with women in leadership, as well as live podcast conversations in general.
Absolutely. It's always such a pleasure to be bringing on such wonderful people on the podcast. And it's definitely something that we are interested in. Yeah. We are working towards platforming some of the incredible voices of the people within our community and within our network. So sisters, we hope that you enjoy this. We also want to know, who else should we be bringing on the podcast? Are there folks within your community that need platforming or any other women who are literally buzzing or doing some incredible things that you would love to hear from? Please, please, please comment down below and let us know so we can be getting in touch.
For sure. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation.
Let's get into it.
Are you guys ready? A conversation on intentional leadership. Yeah, let's go.
Yay.
So as you guys know, we are actual podcast hosts and you're in a live podcast session, but it wouldn't be a To My Sisters podcast if we didn't do our intro.
There you go.
So hello and welcome to the To My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee.
I'm Kiki Anuendegoro.
Okay.
And we are your sisters today. And on today's episode, we are going to be talking about intentional steps when it comes to leadership.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so we're going to jump straight into it. This is a safe space. Everyone in this room is a leader in their own right, whether it be of an organization, of their own lives, of their group of friends, whatever it is. We all have influence. We all have power. And so how do we steward those two things intentionally? And so we have a few questions.
Right. I'm ready.
So as the leader of BYP, as the orchestrator,
the chief boss,
the real boss, what are some of the things that you have done to cultivate yourself as a leader?
Oh God, it's so hard. It is so hard because I always say when I started BYP Network, it was just this idea. Let me just, you know, bring Black professionals together. Let's find the leaders. Let's find the role models. Not realizing that on the journey that I too would be a leader, that I too would be seen as a role model.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's been that shift of, initially it was like BYP Network, the logo, you can see BYP. Why do you need to see who I am? Why do you need to know me? But in business, it's like they need to know the person behind the brand. Otherwise they don't really buy into the brand.
Yeah.
And so it took this whole process of like coming out of myself, myself, out of my shell, you know, stepping into my executive presence, you know, making sure people know my background and why I started BYP Network. And it's just been this ongoing journey of leadership development. That's so like amazing. Even these leadership conferences, they help me, right? I go on to courses. I mean, I've been on so many business accelerators. I'm always online. I go to networking events. I still learn and I still develop. And I think that's important for everyone here. That's like, it doesn't ever stop, right? And you have to keep going. And there's no such thing as made it. You've never made it. There's always a next level.
That's fantastic.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely love that. And I love the fact that you touched on the reality of having to put yourself out there a lot more. And I think a lot of folks in this room can resonate with the fact that there's a little bit of just nervousness in putting yourself out there, whether it be for an opportunity that you want or, you know, a business that you're running. So my next question is, how did you actually get comfortable with being present online, being out here, being the face of BYP?
I feel like it's only really now, right? 7 years in, because I realized I was doing myself a disservice. Like, if you don't fully step into your power, you don't fully step into yourself, then you can feel it as well, and others can feel it too. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the platform's there for you, the stage is there for you, you have to walk on it. So it's up to you whether you come there, you say what you need to say, you know, you deliver your message, you inspire people, or you're sheepish, you know, or you're uninspiring. And you have to think, what do you want the audience to think about you when they leave the room? They could think, oh, she was really shy. I didn't really understand what she was talking about. I didn't understand the business. Mm. Or they can leave thinking, wow, you know, BYP Network is incredible. Yeah. She's incredible. This is a great business. And you want to go for the latter, right? So you have to practice, whether it's self-talk in the mirror, whether it's going and speaking any opportunity that you can in smaller rooms, you have to develop it. And it's important for your careers as well. Mm. Even if you're not on a stage, you're on stages in your career. Mm, you know, if you have to do a presentation for your manager or whatever, you need to have executive presence. So you need to be able to get yourself out there. So especially in time of social media, you need to kind of embody it.
Yeah. So then let's kind of address the elephant in the room. Obviously we are black. Yeah. And so
shock, just in case. What?
But sometimes when you're trying to step into, and I love what you said, an executive presence, you're trying to carry an executive presence, that can be perceived as aggressive, intimidating. And so how do you go past, you've done the self-talk in the mirror, you're confident, you show up with that executive presence in the boardroom or in the office or in front of your team, and then you're kind of met with some resistance, or maybe you start to get in your own head around how you're perceived. How do you then navigate through some of that tension, and how have you navigated through that?
Yeah, great question. I think, again, it's a journey. You know, you everyone has different opinions. Someone else could receive something different from what you said than somebody else. They can come up to be like, oh, that you know, why would you say that? That's terrible. Where someone else would be like, that was incredible. So you have to take each thing with a pinch of salt, I'd say. Like something me and my friend were talking about was that actually don't let others project onto you. You have to be the one that projects out, you know, because people will paint their narrative of you regardless. They say it's not about what you say. It's about the way you look, the way, you know, they judge you in 5 seconds. Yeah. So you have to make that conscious effort of knowing that that will happen anyway, you know, fine, but I know who I am. And I think that's super, super important.
That's good.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, as you know, we are all about sisterhood over at Team My Sisters. It's kind of in the title of the podcast and the name of the community, right? And oftentimes when we think about leadership, we often think of an individual. We think of one person that's kind of flying the flag, or the one person that's often in the forefront. How has relationships around you been pivotal in your leadership journey?
Oh, they're so important. You know, I don't know if anyone knows here, I'm married, I have a baby.
Sorry.
She's 15 months old. She's very cute. She's cute. She's a little cute. And I always said that one thing about me, I've always been intentional in my career, but also in my personal life as well. I know, you know, there's this kind of boss babe, CEO, CEO, I don't need a man, independent. And that's okay, but I did. Let me just be quite frank, right? Like, I know how hard the journey is, you know, you're, as a woman, you want your relationship, you want that kind of stuff. And I definitely prioritize that too, and I thought it was so important. And I'm so grateful to be in a place now where I have a great family life, right? Like, I can switch off and just chill and be with my family. My weekends are filled with just going to play centers or just vibes in, and I love that aspect of me, right? Like, I don't need to bring it here or bring it to work or whatever, but I feel whole and feel very complete. So even if things are difficult, let's say with work or, you know, growing a business, I know that I've got that kind of shut off, that switch off, where I'm happy in this space. And, you know, I always say, like, those around me, I'm always like, you know, what's going on? Like, don't like leave that part alone. It's important. If you want a relationship, if you want a family, it's important. Go for it, right? So I think a lot of the older women as well, they always say, oh, you know what, I left it too late. That was my, for you younger generation, make sure you invest in that area. And that's my view too. Obviously, each to their own. But I do think relationships are so important. And then also with family as well, I lost my mom a year and a half ago. And the thing is, what I realized is that I could never have predicted that I would lose my mom. And that actually, here I am with my husband and my baby. Yeah. Like, I always think, would I have coped so well if I didn't have that? Because you can't predict life. You don't know what's going to happen, right? Like, you think, oh, I'm good. I've got my mom, I've got my family, we're good. And then just like that, gone. And, you know, my husband was just so amazing in terms of just comforting me, being there for me, knowing that I was going to have a child as well. That was also a comfort. It was like, oh, my mom's coming back. So her name is Yetunde, which means like grandma has returned in Yoruba. So for me, it was like, wow, thank you, God. You know, what a silver lining. And it's made such a difference in my life.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Beautiful. Wow. I mean, how have you handled, obviously, with so much going on in your personal life, the beautiful, the grief, how have you handled having to deal with that, but also show up as a leader in your organization?
Yeah, it's been crazy. I always use the word crazy because it is. I remember, you know, I only had 6 weeks maternity leave, for example, because just so much had to get done. It's the reality of being a business owner that people don't realize, right? You see this, you see the fancy lights, but there's a lot of hard work that goes behind all of it, right? Running a business, teams, individuals. Yeah. Yeah. And again, like I said, in this kind of environment of soft life and people seeing and thinking, oh, I should be the same, or, you know, what makes them different? Nothing makes me special or different. I just work hard. I'm resilient. And I think resilience is actually number one. During the same time I lost my mum, someone else close within the business lost their dad. And sadly, they weren't able to recover.
Yeah.
They weren't able to recover from it. And it really just knocked them out. Whereas for me, knowing that I was, you know, having a child, knowing there was still a business to run, it's like I just had to switch to kind of like, there's still stuff to be done. And I know that's hard for people, right? You want to kind of be down. Of course, life is happening and you should be down. You should grieve that. But you're still here, you know? You can make those people proud, the people that have gone. You can still, you know, do stuff in their name, in their legacy. But you still have to show up, you know? Otherwise, life can really happen to you and it can take the worst turn and you never recover, and then suddenly all the dreams that you have is gone and your confidence is on the ground. Everything is low because you weren't able to recover from life happening. And I think that's the takeaway I give. Like, you have to be resilient in this life.
Ooh, absolutely beautiful. Goodness.
That is heavy stuff.
You know when the word just hits you, you're like, oh, I need to take a moment to just feel the wind of that.
Yeah.
That was, wow, the sweet fragrance. Anyways, speaking of showing up and the importance of showing up, consistency, being out there, and it's something that between me and Courtney is super, super important, just the importance of showing up.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to ask you a question around the courage to be disliked. Because when we think about leadership, when we think about putting ourselves out there, oftentimes we have to deal with, quote unquote, the haters, but also that resistance, right, from folks that may not get your vision, your values, who may actively have, you know, words or things to say about you. So how do you deal with the reality of being disliked in certain situations or certain areas?
That's such a great question. I think that's not touched on, right? Yeah. Like, you don't actually think about, there are people who don't like you for no reason. They just don't like you. Right. Like, oh, here she goes again on my timeline. Oh, another win, well done. You know, and it's something within themselves that, you know, they can't help. But actually, it does make a difference, right? Because it makes you feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't put up my achievement. That's something I battled with, because since young I've always been a high achiever. Like, whether it's, oh, representing Great Britain javelin, all eight stars at school, this scholarship, like, I've always been someone that's like win. But people don't see those lows, right? That I just explained. It's like that. The lows are deep, but the wins are high. But people will see both. But the wins is what they'll see. Oh, another one, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what I'm telling myself. It doesn't mean that's the truth. People are like, well done. People are like, wow, I see her. She looks just like me. I can do it too.
Yeah.
So actually, if you're thinking you've got haters and all this negative energy, you're stopping your light shining. And you're stopping those who can feed off it and who can also be bright and do amazing things not get that from you just because you're afraid of being disliked.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has their little communities and a little niche. Right, you can have 100 people love you, ride or die for you. You might have 1,000 who hate you. Focus on that 100. That's true. Focus on that 100 people. They're the ones that are going to uplift you and fuel you. And people always say, you know, you start something like a mixtape, no one's supporting you, no one in your local community is supporting you, then you blow, you've got all these fans and you're thinking, oh, all them haters from ends. Yeah. But it's like, you know what I mean? But it's like, you've blown now, right? Because you did it, you kept going, you've blown.
Yeah.
And them haters from ends are still in ends, hating. who cares? So you have to just go for it, right? And not care about negative, what the negative people are saying.
That brings me to a very interesting question, because I feel like most times your friends aren't going to support the mixtape because it's bad. You know what I mean?
It's terrible.
Shout out to all the SoundCloud rappers though. We love you guys.
You know, it's really like you give us the link, we'll shut it off. It's bad. But that brings me to a real question around, obviously we're all sitting here now having built stuff and doing amazing things, you know, looking real cute under the spotlight. But have there been some fails in your leadership journey? Like some things where you look back and you think, shouldn't have handled that way. That wasn't very leaderish.
The whole journey is fails. Oh my God. The whole journey is fails. And it's funny because obviously we started the session or the conference day on athlete mindset, right? Mm. And the question I miss asked about is about the fact that you fail so much as an athlete, but it only takes one win. That's actually the truth. As an athlete, you have 20 competitions. 19 was terrible. You came last. You didn't succeed. That one, you get a new personal best. You're now ranked number one in the country. You're the best.
Wow.
Like that is literally how it is as an athlete. And that's how it is in business as well. You get so many fails. You hire the wrong person. The person sweet talk you. They didn't do anything they said they're going to do because you're worried of being liked. You don't let them go in time. And then cause destruction in your company. And then you've got this. It's nonstop. It's nonstop. And especially when you're trying to change a narrative as well.
Yeah.
Right? So one thing I always say is that at BYP, you know, we're here preaching black talent. We know there's black talent. Yep. So it starts here. We need to show it internally, you know. So why are we letting these standards slip? We can't, right? This is a fail right here for us. Mm. And we know the battle is outside, but it's inside too, right? As a community, let's be honest. So it's one of those ones where it's a consistent fail. You're going to keep failing. Like there'll be a fail again tomorrow. But look at where we are today as a company, right? So even though we've been failing, look how far we are. So if we give up from all the fails, then what? But you have to fail your way to succeed, and that's the key thing. And we don't do that enough in the UK. Mm. In the UK, it's like, I don't want to try. What if I fail? When America, it's very much, they expect you to fail. If you haven't got enough fails under your belt, they don't even want you. Mm. You know, they invest more in third-time founders than first-time founders because they know that you failed in that company and you've learned a lot. That's and good. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, if this is what failure looks like.
Yeah, I'm ready to.
You need success. That's fantastic. That's great advice.
Beautiful, beautiful advice. I actually want to touch on the whole, you know, intersectionality, right? Being both black, but also a woman, entering into these spaces. Obviously, BYP is a fantastic network of young black professionals, but hello for the black sisters in the room that really want to do well and the difficulty of entering into spaces, not just spaces that are not for you being black, but also not for you being woman, and then also not for you being black and a woman. And oftentimes these can even be in community spaces within our own community. So my question to you is, how do you navigate that? Like, what are some tips that you can share with folks that are black women, they want to be leaders, they want to be, you know, doing the thing, but they feel like they've almost got all of these stacks of, I don't know, areas or, you know, identities that they feel are preventing them from entering these spaces?
The crazy thing is, it's real. It is actually real. Like, one story I share, you know, it's a safe space, even though it's being recorded and be uploaded. it's like, actually, my worst work environment, it was from three black men who literally...
I mean...
Sorry, brother.
Wow.
Yeah, it was so bad. It's like they I remember one of them said, "Oh, when are you going to get married, have a baby, so he can shut you up?" It was so toxic, guys. It was so bad. But luckily at the time, I also had incredible black men around me too. Yeah.
Right.
That's the key. So not all black men.
Redemption.
They're sweating, you know. Honestly, not all black men, black people, not all white people.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem with the community at the moment. It's like all men are trash. Yeah. All black men are trash. Yeah. All women are trash.
Yeah.
And that's the narrative that keeps on going around and around. It's not true. Your one experience or 10 experiences with these individuals doesn't mean that all billions of people in the world are those people.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
That's so good.
Like, and I think that's something people need to really understand. And I say also in personal life, like dating life, okay, you had a bad experience dating this guy, doesn't mean the next guy is going to be bad. Mm-hmm. But if you bring that energy into that area, then it's going to be bad. You actually have to draw a line under each situation and keep it moving.
Boy.
If I let that situation at a time affect me, BYP wouldn't be here because I would have been like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Look at my community. Look what they're doing to me.
Yeah,
like, look
good.
At what they're doing to
that's
me. But I kept it. I kept going. I kept moving. And I understand that each situation is isolated. Even if it's 99%, that 1% is still there, you know? And that's the stuff that keeps me motivated.
Yeah. That's the dating advice.
advice someone needed. Yeah, I know. That is fantastic. It's crazy how time has flown, but we kind of have to wrap it up.
That's crazy.
Oh, God.
I know. Listen to the Two My Sisters podcast for part two.
Hello.
Hey.
But I wanted to wrap this up by all of us sharing our tips for cultivating intentional leadership.
I've been talking.
Well, I just asked the question.
It's giving
Renee.
I had a feeling you were going to turn to me first. And yeah, here we go. That's what you get for sitting in the middle, it seems. Intentional leadership. I think that if you're not a good leader of yourself, you'll be a bad leader of others. Yeah. I think oftentimes we think that we need to show up for other people or like lead other people in order for that to be the receipt that we're good leaders. But I find that if you have bad character, if you have bad systems in place, if you're allowing yourself to be ruled by elements outside of you, then you're going to be a bad leader in other situations. So I think that it's very, very important that you lead yourself first before you think you can step into the arena and lead other people.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. I think for me, don't expect people to be what you're not.
Yeah.
You have to, if you're a leader, you're a model. If your team is only going to reflect who you are and what you give. I think we've even seen it in relationships and friendship. This year we wrote a book about cultivating friendship and being intentional about that. And one of the main things you learn is people give what they get from you.
Right.
And so if you're going to be a leader and you're going to ask people to show up with excellence, you have to display that, right? You have to be that leading example. And so, yeah, that would be my one.
And I want to jump on that. And boundaries as well. That's the thing. Because I think something I found is that the lack of boundaries. Yeah. So even though you can show up with that excellence and be that, but if people aren't showing that, and you're like, oh, let it slip, it will just cascade. So I think that's so important, doing that, but then also having boundaries. Yeah. And something I saw the other day from Miles Monroe, he's a pastor, he passed away sadly. Something that he said is that leadership isn't actually about leading people. Mm-hmm. It's about finding your gift and offering your gift to the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm holding on to that, and I think everyone else should.
Wow. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed those nuggets of wisdom.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a Q&A.
Ooh.
Oh, what a show, y'all.
Wow. Okay. Let's go into that. Does anyone have any questions? Oh, is it a Slido?
Yeah.
Oh, it's high tech around here. Oh, yeah. I love that. All right. Fabulous. All right, cool. What does it mean to be a Black woman in business? How do you own being a Black woman in what you do?
Ooh. I think what it means to be a Black woman in business is seeing the negative news a lot and having to put it aside. So negative news is like 0.02% of Black women raise over $1 million or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I saw that, it was there, blah, blah, blah. But we did a fundraise and raised over $1 million with 1,200 investors, you know? And that was because I was like, you know what? I see that, but we're going to prove them wrong.
That's good.
Right? But it's that constant knowing that, okay, these are the things stacked against you and I'm understanding it, but I'm going to keep on going regardless. It goes back to that resilience. It is frustrating. We were born with resilience and trauma, whatever it is. Yeah. But sadly, it's a continuous journey, right? And we're doing it for the next generation, you know, after us. Mm-hmm. But you have to keep showing up regardless and knowing, we know, you know, our back's against the wall. We know the microaggressions. We know the negative narratives. But what are we doing to kind of shine positive light?
Mm-hmm.
You know, during this time, again, safe space, a lot was going on as a Black business, you know, founder with their business, fine, right? That happened over there. That doesn't mean all Black women business owners are the same.
Yeah.
You can't now look at me, you know, oh, is it the same? No, don't do that, right? Isolate it. And I think that's one of the problems. We're painted with the same brush. Ooh. If one of us fails, we all fail.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, all Black businesses, Black women business founders are all the same. No. And I think that's the thing that I don't like as a Black woman leader. But these are things that we have to keep changing. And this is why we have to keep showing up as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Do you want to ask the next one?
Yeah, sure. What's one way you wish to give back to your community?
That's good.
I'm giving back, no?
She not says holding a whole conference, so what else are you going to do? Huh?
Take my blood, you know? So I actually just got named as vice chair of the London.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Chamber of Commerce Black Business Association.
Woo!
Thank you. So that's another extension of me in terms of giving back. Like, as a business owner, what the things I've learned, how we can amplify other black businesses, how we can win them contracts and new businesses as well, get them networking. We realise it's about being in the right rooms and spaces. Mm-hmm. And through our connection with the London Chamber of Commerce, that's what it's about. It's that funnel in for black businesses to win business, big business. And we want to also amplify them. We want to show people, look, these are business leaders in different industries. How about the people doing wind farming? What about them? We don't talk about them. It's not just community businesses like BYP Network. And for me, that's the first step of kind of doing something different outside of BYP Network and giving that part. And I think we were saying earlier, like, I'm not a content creator. I tried, I'm sorry. So I can't show every dynamism of my life. Like, I can't show every nitty gritty. Yeah. But all I can do is post what I can or share what I can. I do office hours as well. Like, every week I'm meeting at least 4 people a week just who've got questions on business. I give that to them as well.
So good.
And just whatever I can, really and truly. But again, boundaries, and I need time for me too. And I think I'm giving a lot, guys.
You are. You're doing a great job, sweetie. Okay. So this must to the panel. So all of us. How, as a black man in tech, can I support more intentionally women in tech and make sure that they don't feel like imposters?
Shout out to you, brother.
Thank you. See, not all black
you.
Men.
Do you get?
Yeah. We need you.
Oh, yeah, to the panel.
It's the way you turned around and said, okay.
I think one thing is giving people the stage and passing the mic. I think when people want to share ideas, they can often just be overlooked and not given even just the room to share what it is that they're thinking. And so I think when you are given that opportunity to speak and share ideas, if you see that somebody hasn't, maybe the space for them hasn't been created for them to open up their mouth, and maybe they're a bit shy. I think a lot of this also comes down to temperament, because some people may feel like, I know my idea is not going to be received in this room, so let me just shut down. I think it's good to just pass the mic and be like, before I share my idea, Renee, what do you think? You know? And I think that's a good way to give someone the platform when you've been given it, and kind of use your privilege for good in that way. How about you?
Yeah, that was great advice. I think to add to that, just having a listening ear. I think oftentimes a lot of black women can feel discouraged in sharing their, you know, journeys or their lived experiences because they're being shut down by so many different folks, right? From white folks to our community. So actively, like, making the space to listen, holding space for black women to hear their stories, to actually validate them, to support them is super important, both in the industry, but also in personal capacities as well. So, you know, when you do have friends that are trying to speak to you about some of the issues that we're going through as a community, like, open your ears, Shad. You don't always have to answer, but you can actually just say, you know what, I'm actually going to listen to you, I'm going to hear you, because one of the most powerful things for people is when they feel heard.
So
opening up your ears, actually giving space to the women in your life, and the women, not just the ones in close proximity to you as well, because I know that for a lot of brothers, it's so easy to give space to women that we know and women that we love and women that are close to us, but giving space to black women in all of their varieties and all of their context is really important.
That's excellent.
I think if I think back to the environment I was in, because it was tech and it was black men in tech, I'd say if only they just supported me, you know, they saw I was excited. This was early days of BYP Network. I'd invite them to, you know, come along to the event. They're just like, yeah, sure, I'll come, I'll show it. And that would have went a long way, honestly. Just showing that kind of energy back and that enthusiasm. Or even if they didn't think it was anything great, just being like, oh, okay, cool, well done. Like, but that's a positive, I'd say, not the negative. And that would make a huge difference.
That's excellent. All right, final question. Did you always envision yourself as a leader? If not, what would you say to your younger self who's becoming a leader?
Is that to the panel? Is that just
let's just keep it going. I'm not going first. I just want that to be known.
Because I know you're not looking at me again.
I think because I was doing sports at such a young age, I saw myself as an athlete, you know, on major stages, throwing the javelin, competing globally, internationally. And I guess that that came with role model visibility as a sports person. Mm. I wouldn't say I ever saw myself as a business leader or anything along those lines. Mm. But from a young age, I've always had to go on stages, say, hey, I'm Kike, I do sports. My borough supported me at the time as well. Mm-hmm. So I had to go to a lot of borough events as well. So from a young age, I've always been pushed, I'd say, into leadership because of what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's only now I'm stepping into it. Mm-hmm. So my advice would be step into it earlier. Just step into mm-hmm. it. If it's already there, if it's calling you, if it's obvious, just lean in. No yeah. point in pushing yourself away and trying to make yourself smaller.
That is beautiful. How about you, Renee?
I think for me, I would say to my younger self, the things that you see as disadvantages will become your superpower in the spaces that you want to enter. I think for me, when I was younger, I kept on seeing things that made me different as things that would be a disadvantage in like operating in certain spaces. Ah, you're the only black person in this room, or like you're the only woman in this room, or you're not from a background that is like seen as acceptable in these particular spaces. But it's actually from difference that we can draw that level of leadership and that understanding and that context and that fresh perspective that everyone likes to use when they're talking about their diversity campaigns yeah. and whatnot. It's like, yeah, diversity inclusion is all about fresh perspectives and all that nonsense. Yeah, there you go. First thoughts and mixed groups and all that kind of nonsense. But it's actually from a lot of these quote unquote differences that you can draw so much strength and so much quote unquote diversity, but also just your capacity to lead. You can lead from those quote unquote disadvantages. There are people that are actually relying on you to lean into those disadvantages and turn them into superpowers so that you can then empower other people. So to younger Renee, I'll say, girl, all of these things that make you different is what makes you special.
That is beautiful. What would I tell younger Courtney? Maybe focus on studying a bit more. But I would ultimately say, like, keep serving people. I think when people identify you as a leader, it's easy to put on, you know, your shoulders up. Yeah, I'm a leader. And that's so cool. And people are like, you're going far. But I think it's to remember that the best leaders are the greatest servants. Yep. So serve people. Always look for where you can add value to people. Because I think we always think it's our gifts and our talents that open doors and make room for us. But oftentimes it's also the favor of people and people just liking us. And you can gain people's favor by serving them and being really servant conscious when it comes to serving people, whether they are higher than you, below you, in whatever work structure you're in. Think about how you can serve community. I think even with Two My Sisters, what we've done and the amount of global support we've received from women is because every week we think, how can we serve them better with the resources that come from this content? How can we serve them better? And so, yeah, that's what I'll tell her. Don't get puffed up, serve. Yeah. Amazing. Well, beautiful people, this is actually the end.
Yes.
Not a jump scare this time, no, not a false alarm.
No, it's not a gag. This one's over. But it was so lovely speaking to you. Thank you so much, Kike. Not just for being on this panel, but for everything you do. Honestly, thank you for this conference and thank you for BYP and everything you're going to be doing with Chamber of Commerce as well. We have been your amazing hosts. This is my best friend, Renee Kapuku, and I'm Courtney Daniela Boating. Thank you for coming to our podcast.
One thing about Kike that I absolutely, well, I love a lot of things about Kike.
Love her to pieces.
But one thing that I really love about her is her rawness. Mm. I think oftentimes when we talk about things that are super high level, like, oh, leadership, yeah, intentional leadership, it doesn't feel raw or real, especially when it comes to what does it look like on a day-to-day basis, actually running a company that is, you know, doing the millions, doing the rounds, and how that impacts things like your personal relationships. Yeah. You know, I love the fact that she shared a little bit about her own personal life, about her mother, who, rest in peace, passed away during that time, about, you know, her marriage, about her wonderful, wonderful daughter, and the reality of juggling all of these different things. Yeah. While serving in a leadership capacity.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I would love to hear a little bit more about like your reflections on the necessity of rawness when you are in leadership positions, when you are called to be somebody that's in the front. Like, how do you navigate that whole, I want to be an intentional leader, but there's so many things that I'm dealing with in my real life that can often shape
sometimes even hinder or perhaps bleed into leadership.
I think the thing that I'm learning on this leadership journey is the two actually go hand in hand and they complement each other quite well. And I know there can sometimes be expectations for leaders to be, you know, hard and really bearing all the force of everything and just doing the hard stuff and leading really hard. But I do love this concept of like soft power and soft leadership. And I also think that like it's beautiful to be vulnerable as a leader because you demonstrate to other people that they can be human too.
Right.
And you can still drive and strive for excellence and high performance and still be like, but this can be tiring. Yeah. And sometimes I need to rest. Necessary. And also I'm a leader, not just here, but in other areas. I'm a leader in my home. I'm a leader in my church. I'm a leader. And those things also take priority at some points, you know? And so I think being honest, being vulnerable and being raw with the people who you are leading not only gives them the permission to do the same in a respectful and effective way and builds rapport with them, but also allows you to be an effective leader across the board, right? In what it is you're doing. So I think it's a form of setting boundaries and a form of being honest with yourself, but also a form of giving your team permission to be human, right? And I think as leaders, there can be an expectations others place on us to be sub, like more than human, superhuman. And then we can then project that same feeling onto other people out of like resentment or losing touch of our humanity. And so I think being vulnerable allows us to remind people and ourselves that it's okay to be human and it's okay to know your limits as well and to know when you need to show up for something else.
100%.
Yeah. It is a nice thing, man, but vulnerability can be hard. And I think as people who are navigating their careers, building on like a company, being entrepreneurs, trying to make money out here, hopefully one day we can also stand next to Kike and be like seven figures, the eight figures, the nines. But where do you think vulnerability, how do you think actually we can be vulnerable in a professional space? Like practically, what does that look like? Because you can't just go to your boss every week crying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not professional. Compose yourself.
You've come to cry again.
Do you get what I mean? Like, and there is, as much as we say like vulnerability isn't weakness, you don't want to constantly be showing up to your team and being like, I can't handle this, I can't handle this, I can't handle. You will get demoted or you will get fired, you know, and people will tell you it's for your own mental health. 100%. So how do we balance that? Yes, being vulnerable, it's different being vulnerable with your girls and with your sisters and being vulnerable to your team and to your boss, so, or even to your employees. So as to be fair, even to your co-founder. So as what does basically, so as people who are trying to be vulnerable in a professional environment, what does that actually look like?
Practically? No, that's a brilliant question because I think it's so difficult. I'm screaming, thank you, Andrew, that was good. I'm touching the hearts today. I think that's a brilliant question because it forces us to look at the current systems that we have within professional settings for that to be true. If it is that you are only going to your boss at the brink of breakdown, then that's not vulnerability. That's actual just breakdown. Vulnerability doesn't always constantly look like, hey, I'm crashing or I'm burning or I need some kind of outlet or some kind of rescue attempt. Vulnerability is something that needs to be built and cultivated over the smaller interactions that we have within professional settings. So it doesn't have to look like, hey, I have a deadline and I need to pick up my kids and I'm super, super overwhelmed. It can look like, hey, can we have a hard stop at this particular time because I have to prioritize, you know, my kids. It doesn't always have to be a, hey, I'm super, super overwhelmed. Like, how can I, you know, take all of this time off of work? It can also look like, hey, I would love to do this, but I don't have the current headspace to actually deal with this right now, but I will prioritize it at this particular time, right? So it is being, it does necessitate having clarity around what are the things that you hold true to your life and being able to communicate it before the fire starts. And I think that one of the greatest analogies that I've used recently in a professional setting, funnily enough, is understanding rocks. What are rocks? What are pebbles? And what is sand? So rocks are the big immovable things in your life. Imagine you're putting all of this stuff into a jar, right? You put the big chunky rocks into the jar. These form like your values, the things that you're not going to move on, your priorities, whether it be in a professional setting, but also a personal setting. And if someone were to ask you, is the jar full?
you would say yes, but the pebbles fit into the gaps of those rocks. Pebbles can be things that can, it has a little bit more wiggle room, right? So what are the things in your personal and professional life that may have a wiggle room? A deadline that you think is a rock might actually end up being a pebble, something that can shift back maybe a week to allow you to focus and prioritize on the rocks. And then what is actually sand? The day-to-day stuff that we can deprioritize as well. But again, it really requires you to have a very solid understanding of what are your rocks in your life, what are your priorities in your life, and being quite clear in articulating this again and again and again consistently, and not waiting to a point of breakdown to communicate or be vulnerable with another person. I think of the conversations that we have, taking a more preventative approach than one that is mediated in, you know, fighting fires. If we take the necessary precautions, then we can avoid, you know, visits to the doctor, visits from firefighters, right? So it's taking a more proactive and preventative approach to expressing yourself in these professional situations, and also actually building relationships with other people where the professional and the personal does bleed into each other. I don't think it's a healthy environment to simply be professional all the time, because even this whole notion of professionalism sometimes can be quite toxic, because we think that professionalism and vulnerability and actual priorities in our personal life are mutually exclusive, when the two go hand in hand. If you are a mother, or if you are somebody that has other priorities, if you are dealing with grief, or if there are other things in your life that are rocks, then these need to be communicated up front. And I think what I loved about what you said earlier is everybody's actually human. So appealing to the humanity when you are being vulnerable and transparent with other people in cultivating those relationships will actually create such wonderful spaces for you to actually share what is on your mind, what is on your heart, the things that you can do, the things that you can't do. And then the last thing that I also say is actually making sure that you prioritize the work that you do and still doing it to a high standard. I think because we often wait to a point of breakdown to be vulnerable, our work also slacks, and we also don't have enough receipts to back up that whilst we are, you know, doing a whole bunch of things, we still have the receipts, or we still have worked on projects and we've actually committed to it, we've showed up and all that kind of stuff. When I think of somebody like Kike, obviously she's been dealing with a lot of stuff, or when I think about the relationship between us two, we deal with a lot of stuff in our personal life, but we still prioritize showing up. So it's knowing when to toe the line and also doing the balancing act of, yes, I can be dealing with something and there will be times where I will break down, or times where I need to, you know, deprioritize some of my work. But when I do have capacity to work on my work, showing up for my work well, so that heaven forbid a breakdown does happen, I can still rest on the fact that I have been consistent and I actually care about the work that I do. Because that often speaks louder to people within the workspace than the crash and burning, because you become known for crashing and burning and not necessarily
and not being reliable.
Exactly.
It's so good. That is so good.
Leadership be hard, man. Leadership be hard. It be hard. And articulating, you know, when you're struggling, can be very, very difficult, especially if you are a woman or like a woman from an ethnic minority background, especially being Black women. There are so many narratives out there of us being Wonder Women and juggling it all. And how do you, like, one of the questions that we often get asked is, how do you do it all? How do you balance the whole? So I'm gonna pose that question so that when people ask, you can, you know,
timestamp,
listen to this podcast at this time. But like, what is your reaction to the question of how do you balance it all? How do you juggle it all? Being a Black woman in the professional sphere, building all of these different things at different times, like, what does it actually practically look like?
It's so layered. And the reason why I say that is, like, even when, as you were asking me the question, oftentimes my internal voice is screaming, I need help. Like, I actually need help. Professional help, maybe. Oh, 100%. Also, professionals to help me. And I think one thing, especially as business owners, that we don't do sometimes is build a team. And I think as Black women and as Black people, I think as well as, like, and this is why I'm saying it's layered, right? Because as Black women who are building businesses, oftentimes our business will start off small, right? We're not building businesses that go to VC fundraising from the jump. Do you get what I mean? Like, that's not all of us. And the majority of us aren't. We're bootstrapping, we're building small businesses, we're doing things with our family, our friends, we're doing things which great, amazing impact, but start off small, you know, at least on the team side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think because we do get used to doing everything on our own, being multifaceted, being multi-hyphenated, having to be the accountant, the lawyer, or even if you outsource this thing, being used to being the business development, the marketing, the sales, the customer service, like all of the day-to-day tasks, you're probably the one doing everything. We don't know how to then ask for help or build systems that help us to not have to do everything all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Even when we do get to a stage where it's actually breaking point and you need to. And I think this isn't just the flaw of, like, you know, superwoman syndrome and us finding it hard to let go of control.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think that sometimes the resources aren't there,
right,
or we haven't built that leadership capability to be able to make that transition from being, you know, a solo entrepreneur to then maybe being a co-founder or to being, you know, a boss, right? And I think a lot of us are out here calling ourselves like boss babe, but we don't run a team at all, right? And it's like, no, you're not walking in that leadership capacity. And I think what's so admirable about what Kike has done and what so many other Black female entrepreneurs and female entrepreneurs in general are doing is they have built systems which allow their operations to run without them. Kike was in a room, one room in this massive hotel, having a conversation with us whilst the whole conference was happening around her, right? Under her leadership. Yeah. And I think it's now sharpened those leadership skills, sharpened those skill sets far more than even just our understanding of our own business, but actually the principles of leadership, which would allow for us to build a team, lead a team, and also start focusing on that phrase that they always use, focusing on working on our business and not just in our business. And I think that that's where a lot of us get stuck. We're working in our business, and so we have to become superwomen. We have to fight all the fires, we have to do everything. And even me, like, that's one of my biggest prayer points, like, God help me to make that transition as a person, because it's a completely different skill set. It's a completely different mindset, and it presents new challenges, but also it presents new opportunities, 100%. Which allow you to really fly if that's your calling. I think it's important to also say, like, leadership is for everybody.
Yeah, this is it.
Cultivating those leadership skills are for everybody. Even if you're not in business, or you're not, you know, maybe C-suite level, you being a leader in your role is important. You having initiative, you being able to, like, manage relationships manage people well. And but even as you are building a community around you, even if it is just in sisterhood, a lot, if you read into leadership, if you study it, those principles really do carry over into, like I said in the intro, leading the life you want. You have to be a leader, and figuring out what those steps, practical steps are, and what the learnings are for you, it will be important.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely beautiful.
But we hope that you enjoyed this conversation with Kike, with ourselves. Yes. And we want to know what you think. Leadership is something that we both are so fascinated by, and we are both walking in. And so we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on leadership? How can we intentionally build and cultivate leadership in our lives and our leadership? How do we grow our leadership capability? Drop your comments, drop your experiences, talk to us down below, and also follow us across all social media platforms at To My Sisterhood. But you can also follow BYP Network. We know so many of you young professionals will be able to benefit from the network, not just in the UK, but internationally as well. So plug into there also.
Absolutely. And don't forget to follow us individually. You already know, at Renee Kapuku, and the lovely, illustrious lady on my left, my best friend, at CD Boateng.
That's me.
And sisters, we tell you, we remind you every single week, sign up to the newsletter because there will be a whole bunch of fun, insightful tips and tricks to get you through your week, as well as the plug to the latest events, the latest bits and pieces that is happening within the TMS community. And if you want to be part of the sisterhood, the newsletter is where to find us. So make sure that you sign up over at www.tomysisters.com.
We love to see it. Well, sisters, have an amazing week. Go forth and lead, and as always, keep glowing and growing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all.
You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.